I want to start with the Transgender Day of Remembrance, but I don't want to end there. Each November 20th since 1999, transgender people and their families, friends, and supporters mourn those who have been killed in hate crimes. Violence against trans people is a real problem of crisis proportions. The murder rate against trans folks, people who are assumed to be trans, is far higher than in the rest of the population, and a constant worry to anyone with trans family or friends. Our judicial system both tolerates and inspires this violence by treating transgender victims of violence as less important, even as the party to blame in their own beatings, rapes, and murders. Accused killers have successfully used the so-called trans panic defense, claiming that the surprise of discovering that someone is of a different gender than one expected is so shocking that one cannot be held responsible for responding with violence, even deadly violence. You know, we laugh wryly, but it has worked. And it's been a struggle just to record these cases as hate crimes so that we can know the extent of the crisis, investigate the crimes appropriately, and eventually end them. Quite the opposite. We send the message that people can assault, even kill, their transgender neighbors with impunity, that these are lives without value. Our government does the same as it did a couple weeks ago when it threatens to simply erase transgender, pretend it doesn't exist, and force us all to pretend the same. The new rule proposed would be if the doctor's evaluation from a glance at a newborn is that person's sex and gender for life. No other option, despite a mountain of biological knowledge that declares this approach totally wrong and driven only by prejudice. The people we know and love who have belonged to this church, served this church, been born into this church, who are tormented by being forced into a gender that was assigned in error, maybe sometimes good, well-meaning error, but error. If this administration has its way, they will have to live with that torment. You can see where a faith that affirms and promotes the inherent worth and dignity of every person could swing into action. By the way, I'll be moving among a variety of terms that are not synonymous, I need to say, but describe people who face similar challenges. Trans, transgender, genderqueer, gender neutral, non-binary, gender non-conforming, and one I really love, gender creative. I know that's not the end of the list, but I'll just move among some of those during the sermon. We have an important part to play in the violence against transgender people, and we have just as an important a part to play when it comes to one of the greatest risks to transgender and gender variant people, which is suicide and other forms of self-harm, as Theda shared. The risk of suicide is staggeringly high among transgender people, especially youth. Over a lifetime, about 4.6% of people attempt suicide. That's in the general population. Among transgender folks, that figure, are you ready? 41%. But I do have good news. It is not being transgender or genderqueer that is deadly. It's bigotry and abuse and rejection and those impossible choices, such as Theda spoke of having to choose between one's own integrity and having a family, having a community, having safety. Transgender youth asked if they had considered suicide in the previous 12 months, answered yes 60% of the time if their parents were not strongly supportive, 60%. If their parents were strongly supportive, only 35%. Now, that's still frighteningly high, about double the risk facing their cisgender peers. But there is better and better news as we recognize that from a very young age in toddlerhood, my daughter was 3 at most, when children first recognize that people have different genders, that's one of the ways we sort the world, They express what gender they know themselves to be. And we know more and more that gender-variant children who are affirmed in their self-identified gender, they thrive. In recent research, transgender children were found to be no more likely to suffer depression than their cisgender peers. They had only marginally higher anxiety. Their families are saving their lives through the simple expedient of accepting, respecting, and loving them the way they are. Of course, those stats are very different if their families don't. We, all of us, of all gender identities, can do the same for those young people and their parents, grandparents, other family, and friends. These folks, like everybody, need a community that will hold them and the children they love. And very, very few of them will find it in church. We'll find it in any faith community. We know when we look at our religious landscape that faith communities have been among the lead persecutors of people whose gender does not conform to a narrow concept. Very few people will find what they need in a faith community, but we pledge that they will find it here. That's what we mean by the poster in the lobby about being a welcoming congregation and by our rainbow flag hanging outside, that we have done the work, that when we fail, as we do, we will try again. And in Samuel Beckett's words, fail better. That we do our best to welcome everyone. Families need communities. Individuals need communities. People without supportive families especially need supportive communities. That's where we come in. As a member of our church framed it, if a doctor told you that your child had a 40% chance of developing cancer in their youth, but that you could reduce that risk to something far less startling, even baseline, simply by loving them, dignifying them, and accepting them for who they are, would you do it? Of course you would. Trans kids deserve nothing less. So if I told you that we could cut the suicide rate in our plagued Palo Alto, reduce self-harm, reduce self-destructive behaviors like drug use and risky sex, simply by being the community our principles call us to be, would you do it? Of course you would. If I told you that we, UUCPA, had life-saving superpowers, and I could tell you how to activate them, would you activate them? Of course you would. So I'm going to teach you the superpower gesture. It comes from that blessing. See, I told you we'd need it. Our chalice lighting, our family chalice lighting is accompanied by gestures when we speak of an open mind, helping hands, and loving heart. So this is going to be our superpower gesture, okay? We say, superpowers, activate. Superpowers, activate. All right. Here are some ways to activate our life-saving superpowers. Support OWL, our whole lives that Sunshine talked about. We do this very much through volunteer power, through use of our space, and through money. When you support Dan's salary, Grecia's salary, our new RE assistant, and everything that it takes to open many rooms through many months, you are supporting our whole lives, and that saves lives. Our comprehensive sexuality education program that goes all the way at different times from kindergarten up to older adults, depending on different developmental needs, it's not just a program we do for ourselves. It is one of our missions to the wider community. Now, the sex ed around here is comparatively good. We are not, luckily, in one of those districts that teaches abstinence only and ignores or disparages the existence of different gender identities and sexual orientations. And yet, there are still plenty of parents who seek out our program for their kids, in addition to the sex education they all get in school. Even though they aren't Unitarian Universalists, we reach out to them and we welcome them. It's a values-based curriculum. It doesn't just teach biology, but our morals of respect and pleasure, acceptance and love. And along the way, it makes it explicit that fundamentalist religions and right-wing culture warriors do not have a corner on the word values in reference to human sexuality and gender. We take the approach we do because of our moral stance, which affirms the inherent worth and dignity of every person. All right? Superpowers activate. We can support the visibility of trans and gender nonconforming people as appropriate. I asked Dawn Fortune, who's spoken here and led a class here before, I said, we're using these beautiful chalice lighting words of yours, and I'm wondering, given the circumstances of this particular service, how would you feel about my sharing that you're trans? And after they said, yes, in those circumstances that makes sense, I told them, sharing those words, saying at our chalice lighting, you, minister and trans person, Dawn Fortune, that meant that transgender children in our church would hear that someone who is like them is a minister in our faith, a person we respect, a person whose beautiful words we consider it a privilege to hear. Children know when they are different from most people around them, and meeting others like themselves is vitally important. It's important for all of us, of course. So say it with me. Superpowers activate. Use the language and names that people use for themselves. That's a superpower that we have. As a member of our congregation says, loving people includes using their chosen name and pronouns. Something as simple as the right pronoun tells the other person you see them and love them and you are growing with them on their journey. Every trans person I know is forgiving of people who slip up and use their dead name, their old name, or the wrong pronoun. They only ask that you sincerely try, apologize when you slip, and try again. That you affirm that they know themselves best. And my online alter ego, the Gorilla Grammarian, told me to inform you that the values of our seventh grade grammar teachers do not supersede our values of acceptance, dignity, and worth. Okay? Speaking of pronouns, something else we can do is identify ours. We have stickers you can add to your name tag. They got a little lost, and because of this service, we went and found them. Thank you, Elaine Dodd. They are out on the table, just like you could get a rainbow sticker if you want to say, you know, I support LGBT people in general. You can put your pronouns on there. Many gender, creative, and trans folks say that treating pronouns as something non-binary, not to be assumed, that need to be clarified when we meet one another, just like our names, helps them to feel at home. For that matter, when one of us visited the UU Church in San Jose recently, they brought back the information that on their equivalent of the green sheet, our sheet that visitors fill out for the first time, that church asks for people's correct pronouns along with name and address, etc. We could do that. We could create a field in our database tomorrow. And we could expand the options that are presented to us. Speaking of our database, it's pretty good, but it could be more flexible about gender labels. We could ask the company that provides it to consider that change. We could urge every trans-affirming congregation that uses that same database to make the same request. They would really notice that. All right? Superpowers activate. Something we can do is learn more for UUs. We love learning more. If you are someone who learns primarily through reading, I have books about the trans experience, including the one from which today's reading comes. I lend my books out freely. We can order others besides the ones that are already in UUCPA's Hamaker Library. Back when we first did the welcoming congregation program that is about being proactively welcoming of folks of different gender identities and sexual orientations, it wasn't about gender identities. There wasn't a transgender component. The first poster we received from the UUA certifying our completion of the program referred only to gay, lesbian, and bisexual people. We have engaged in an update, just as they have sent out updated posters, but there is so much more to learn. There's a new trans curriculum online created by TRUST, the UU Trans Religious Professionals Organization. There's a special rate for groups, so we could sign up as a congregation and lots of us could take it and learn a lot. And by the way, TRUST was founded by two people who have served this congregation, Sean Parker Dennison and Barb Grief. Isn't that cool? We can learn from other resources from the UU trans community and their allies. The View, V-U-U, is a streamed talk show created by the Church of the Larger Fellowship, our church without walls, and last week's episode asked the exact question that we are asking today. How can UU communities better support trans people? That episode nudged me about another important way we can all help. When something happens like the administration's proposal to define everyone as either male or female from birth, it's great to respond collectively. They said a lot of people did. We saw memes, we saw people saying, trans friends, we support you. But some folks on The View said, many people really also need to hear it individually. A call just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you and wondering how you're doing with this news means a lot. And act individually and as a congregation when transgender lives intersect with public policy or news events. There has never been a time in our country's history when gender variant people were fully protected by the law. Right now, the government is actively seeking to strip away what protections we have won. And trans folks are small in number. They need others to speak up. Something else we can do is honor the Transgender Day of Remembrance this month. You can do that by joining me here at 6 o'clock on November 20th to remember and mourn beloved lives lost. And recommit to the celebration of all our lives. And then in spring, we can celebrate Transgender Visibility Week. Superpowers, activate! And yes, we can institute all gender bathrooms for those in transition, those who don't relate to the labels, male or female, or just anyone who would be more comfortable with that option. Those who use the women's and the men's restrooms can also make a commitment to trust that every person knows which bathroom they belong in, and not to question why anyone is using any particular one. We could put that in writing, as well as in our habits. That would be very affirming to those who are used to being told in sharp tones, this is a women's room, as if they don't know. So we will begin with mourning, but we will not stop there. We have done and will continue to do much more positive things. We can do and will do much more to be a community that makes the difference between death and life. Until November 20 fades, a grim holiday that no longer needs to be marked, until we celebrate, glory in, the beauty in the diversity of all the wondrous forms human stories take. When I noted to a friend how gracefully and powerfully she was welcoming the change in the person she had thought of for 14 years as her daughter, she responded with the simplest, most heartfelt, and life-saving words, a guide to us all. He's my kid. We know it, we've always known it. Our ultimate power is love. Love in action. Love that isn't just about what we feel, it isn't even about what we understand, it's about action. Love treating others as we would want to be treated. As another parent of a transgender child says, it's very simple, love your kid, love your friend, the person right in front of you. In this world that is so bruised by the blows of cruelty and bigotry, a world that just aches for more love, what more powerful action could we take? Are you ready? Superpowers, activate! Some days this is all we've got, Dawn Fortune writes. Tiny little flame, wick cut so short it can hardly burn, but burning still. Make it bigger and brighter for every soul to see. Let's do it.